One down, two more to go here on this Friday. A spirited first hour. Lots of emotion from Raider fans coming off of their big win last night against the Kansas City Chiefs. A must win. We tried to speculate. We believed, but we're trying to sugarcoat it because we thought they might lose to Kansas City. No reason to tune out for the season yet. Everything's all right. Everything's thankfully just a thrilling Thursday night football game, a thrilling AFC West battle. The Raiders were able to get to win 31-30, as everyone is aware now. Great topic of conversation there in that first hour, not just about the play of Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. Of course, Marshawn Lynch is a strong topic of conversation. People have very polarizing feelings about Marshawn Lynch, but guess what? It's nothing new. It's been that way forever. No, Jason Ross today is on his way to North Dakota for Stingers football.
Stingers up.
That is Charles T. Hamilton here with Damian Barling on the lowdown. And we thank you so much for being with us. A lot that we got to get to here in this remaining 2 hours of the show. Our Friday Five coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. We'll discuss the five storylines, players, games you should be paying attention to. Dusty Baker is out as the manager for the Washington Nationals. We saw that coming. Kind of talked about it the day after.
The day after he got hired?
Pretty much. I mean, there's a clock there in Washington. We'll talk about that. We'll get into that at the bottom of this hour. You're here from Gronk. Apparently, the Patriots. Gronk gave the most Gronk answer to a question that you could imagine. Apparently, the Patriots are on double secret strict orders to not talk about last year's Super Bowl, but Gronk kind of let the cat out of the bag. We'll get to that. We'll get to the NBA in here in just a heartbeat.
But Gronk is fun, right? Like, Gronk is fun. That's all fun, right?
Okay. I know, you're trying to do it, but you're not going to do it. Not today, Satan.
Jesus, take the wheel.
You ain't going to get me, player. Yeah, I don't know what other sports show that is airing across the country right now is going to tell you here at the top of their second hour. There's some ill stuff going on in WWE right now.
Nice.
See what I did there?
Very nice.
I was going to save this for the Friday Five, but I'll just take it out, throw it in here. You know, wrestling fans know there's a
yeah, because if you throw the tease, everyone's just going to go look it up.
There's a pay-per-view if they're still called that, and I feel like they're every weekend. There's an event coming up on Sunday.
Special event.
TLC, and part of it was the big Shield reunion. Roman Reigns is out. So WWE is scrambling pretty big here. Roman Reigns is out of the main event. Kurt Angle will wrestle his first match for WWE in what, Chris? It's like 12 years? Is it 12 years?
11.
11 years? 12 years. Kurt Angle will wrestle his first match. He's going to take Roman Reigns' spot. Bray Wyatt is sick. He was doing that awful-ish. I feel like it was awful. It was weird. The Sister Abigail thing versus the Demon Finn Balor character. He's out. AJ Styles is coming over from the SmackDown brand, and it's going to be AJ versus Finn Balor here coming up. This card actually just got a whole lot more interesting.
It's interesting, yeah.
Kurt Angle's good. Now, I wish there was a little bit of build to this.
Yeah.
But I understand that WWE has to try to hold an interest heading into this Sunday's event. But, I mean, I just read Kevin Owens left his tour, left his Buenos Aires tour for personal reasons. Nia Jax has left WWE earlier for personal reasons. There's something going on there that it's not computing. It's not adding up. There's a lot of strange things going on in WWE, but big changes to that card this Sunday.
I mean, even without the build, I don't imagine AJ and Finn will half-ass it. They're going to tear the freaking roof off the place.
You've got to put that match on last.
But yeah, they're gonna kill it. It's going to be great.
You absolutely have to put that match on. I mean, I guess Kurt Angle's big enough you could put that on last.
I'm just not super into the retreads. I don't need to see 50-year-olds wrestling.
I don't really want to see Kurt Angle get hit by Braun Strowman, to be honest. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
I don't want Kurt Angle to fall off ladders. Put AJ Styles and Finn Balor in the last match and let them go 35, 40 minutes or something like that.
You guys will probably clown me for this, but
probably.
Why not Jason Jordan instead of Kurt Angle? I'm just saying. Like, hey, let's take this spot to elevate someone. No, we're just going to put the 50-year-old in.
Are you finished?
No, I'm not. I can keep going. They should be ashamed of themselves, first off. Kurt Angle, is he even healthy enough to be in the ring? I mean,
He's healthy enough when they need someone to replace Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
We've been trying to touch on this, but, you know, we got so many people.
I was going to Jason Jordan.
So we talked so much about the Raiders there in that first hour. There was some basketball tonight. There is some basketball tonight. We'll touch on that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Of course, there's the Kings tonight, by the way. The Kings mm-hmm. and the Mavericks live from Dallas coming up Ooh. At 5:30. Kings live, I believe, with Dave Deuce Mason coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour.
Ugh.
And we will have game night coming up at 4. So lots of King stuff coming your way from Dallas, of course, with the game coming up at 5:30. First of two, by the way, they got a back-to-back. There'll be two Kings games played by the time we rejoin you on Monday. They'll be in Denver tomorrow night, as we noted, as Jason noted, one of the toughest back-to-backs in all of basketball when you go from anywhere
to Denver on the second night. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that always makes it tough.
And that's what the Kings will be doing. So Dallas tonight. Denver tomorrow. We'll get into that a little bit before we get out of here. Last night, a couple of games. I guess the marquee one, I mean, they were both marquee. New York, the Knicks visited Carmelo in his new home in Oklahoma City. Let's get a little bit of Melo last night because he came out firing.
You got Melo highlights?
I got one.
Okay.
And I feel like it had to feel good for it. Just let's get that first one out the way. Let's get that. And everybody, it seems, got pretty comfortable pretty quick. Stop me if you've heard this before, but Russell Westbrook finished with a triple-double. You talk about picking up right where you left off. Give him the MVP now. I'm going on a campaign, 82-game-long campaign. Russell Westbrook, again, back-to-back MVPs.
I'm excited to hear it. For 82 games. I
don't care how big of a hater you are, man. That dude walks in there. How is he going to play? How is he going to adjust? Can Russell Westbrook be a facilitator?
I can't even look at you.
Paul George was shooting threes. Russell Westbrook was facilitating the floor. Now, with the good comes the bad. And the bad was they were playing the New York Knicks. So I don't know how much of that the Knicks are going to be bad this year. Kristaps Porzingis? Porzingis is going to be very good.
He's going to be good.
The Knicks overall, they're going to be very bad. Unfortunately, the casualty of that is going to cost Jeff Hornacek his job here. Probably, this will probably be Jeff Hornacek, his only season under Scott Perry as a general manager. But they're not going to be good. They're not going to be fun to watch. I don't know that Russell Westbrook will play. I think we got, I mean, you know, Melo was 8 for 20. Paul George was 9 for 23.
Yeah,
those guys.
They were good, not great.
They took the volume of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Paul George shooting a lot of threes. We saw Carmelo playing his natural position. And again, we saw Russell Westbrook facilitating the ball, facilitating the floor.
Yeah, what do you have, 16 assists?
16 assists.
Because he's got shot makers now.
12 shots.
No.
Yeah. I think it changes when the opponent's jersey says Houston
or Golden State or Cleveland or Washington or
one of those upper echelon teams. I think maybe Westbrook's approach might be a little different, and then that will be the barometer in how you measure this Oklahoma City team.
One of the interesting things Golden State did last year against him is they would try and get Durant switched on him because they knew that would goad him into dribbling the ball out and trying to go one-on-one. So I agree with you. Yes, it was a great game last night and a good job kind of making the effort to get these guys involved, especially knowing what the narrative is around yourself as Russell Westbrook. But will he be able to do that when it's a little more dire circumstances, when it's not the Knicks? That's the question. And I'm glad you went there because you were very fired up about this triple-double. I was going to say,
of course, you know I was going to be.
Yeah.
It's just like I don't know how many opportunities to be I'm going to have this year to be like,
absolutely.
Look, man, I told you Russ was dope.
I told you.
You dismissed.
Been telling you.
You and your boy Kyle Mattson have dismissed everything Russell Westbrook has done for the last year.
Why has he got to be my boy?
Why won't you just acknowledge that Russ is good?
I have never said he's bad. He's great. He won the MVP. I had no problem
with
any of
that. Is it my love for Russell Westbrook
for me,
that bothers you?
You were about to say that.
I was.
It slipped out.
I just don't
That's
want you
right.
to know. I don't
That's
want
right.
you to know I like
no,
you.
No, I knew it. I knew it already. No, I mean, you know what? More than anything, it's people of your ilk, the fans of Russell Westbrook. It's not you specifically, but like on Twitter, the Russell Westbrook stans are just a little too much, man. Just a little too much. But I don't disagree with how good he is or anything. I think maybe the hype around last year was a little overrated. But
he did something that hadn't been done in 50 years. How could it be overrated?
They won 47 games. 46 games?
The year after their A player allegedly goes to Golden State? The former MVP goes to Golden State?
I'm not
saying. They win 47?
I'm not saying.
You're a hater, bro. You and Kyle, man.
What do you want me to do? You know what? MVP, greatest player in the league, in the game, going to win a championship, going to win three more MVPs, 3 years of triple doubles, Russell Westbrook, Stan, okay, three, done. Is that?
That's better.
There you go.
That's
all right,
better.
My bad. Now I get it. Now I get the back and forth.
That's significantly better. I'm just wondering what took you so long to
Kyle's
come around.
Kyle's a little rougher than me. I will admit how good Russell Westbrook is. Kyle might shout out Kyle Madsen. What's up, Doug? That is my boy.
Might be a hater. That's what he is.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a hater.
I'm going to get him an Oklahoma City jersey with the zero on it, but instead of Westbrook, he's just going to say hater.
Hater, yeah. That works. That works.
But again, they played the Knicks. Melo was adamant, okay, no more talk. Yeah. No more talk about the New York Knicks.
It's over. It was a terrible saga. Phil
but
is gone.
You're right, and that's great, and that's a great mindset to have, but player, you're going to go to New York this year.
Yeah, and you literally just played them, too.
That will be the last talk of New York moving forward. But, that week leading in, it's going to be like, oh, Carmelo's returning to New York. All right, here's a great stat. I did see it last night. It's coming up here on the text line as well. Good call. We appreciate you jumping in with this one. The stat last night, no Knicks teammate ever recorded a triple-double when Melo was in New York. Russ gets one on the first night.
Great stat.
That's amazing.
I get
you're 0 for how many years and 1 for 1 in Oklahoma City.
Is that what's the barometer? Why is that you just like the fact that you're bringing up the triple double again?
No, I just think I think the way you look at that is he was the guy in New York. And
we're taking it as his ability to step back a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's the third guy.
You know what my favorite stat from last night was? Carmelo Anthony plus one in 34 minutes in a 20-point win.
What was Russell Westbrook, though?
He had a good one. He had a good one. No, it was the Carmelo Anthony.
Melo's one of those guys. You love him or you hate him.
I know. There's middle ground. I think there's middle ground.
I don't think there is.
For me, at least. I think he's good and will help, but I think he still has his flaws.
I like personally and respect personally Carmelo Anthony. There are aspects to his game that I freaking hate. Mm-hmm. And if I was a Knicks fan the last decade or so, and I know there's at least one or two listening because they text quite frequently, I wouldn't feel so kindly about Carmelo Anthony. He'd be one of those frustrating players for me.
Phil made him a hero in New York. If it wasn't for Phil.
Amazing, right?
If it wasn't for Phil, it would have been a messy, like, we're done with Carmelo. No one wants him here kind of thing. Phil made him a hero, a martyr. That people are like, you know what? He was New York's own.
Because it's like, well, you had to pick.
Yeah.
Who do we dislike more?
The guy who shows up once a week for $12 million a year.
Yeah. At best.
Yeah. Maybe jumps on a conference call from L.A.
Jumps on the subway, jumps on the bus.
Or the guy that's been here for years and at least we know he's putting in effort and, you know, comes out every night and gives us something. But, yeah.
If you didn't get a chance to read the article leading into last game regarding it was on ESPN regarding Carmelo Anthony's time in New York and him discussing his time in New York. One, again, just tremendous praise for Scott Perry and how Scott Perry handled the situation with him. Totally just the opposite side of the coin for Phil Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
There was a League's Pass special. I'll be Toronto. I didn't watch a single.
No, I didn't see that either.
I didn't watch a single second of Toronto between the Thunder opening up and Lonzo Ball, the Lakers, opened up last night against the Clippers. A couple of things of note there. Jason Ross, your very own Jason Ross.
Stingers up.
Very high on the Clippers and the moves that they made this year, minus Chris Paul.
Likewise.
And they were very good. The other side of that, of course, Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the debut that I think Magic was hoping for.
Or a lot of fans.
Or Laker fans were hoping for. Yeah. I think, you know, as much as people claim to hate LaVar Ball, I think too many people have bought into the things. I've heard, you know, the Lakers, 30. Vegas has the Lakers at more wins than the Sacramento Kings. And when we read that, I thought that was insane.
Yeah.
I think the Lakers are the second to worst team behind only the Phoenix Suns. In the Western Conference.
If we're talking win totals, the only way they're going to get win totals is by giving Brook Lopez the ball all the time, which they're not going to do. They're trying to develop these young guys, and young guys don't win games. It's just there's going to be rookie mistakes. And I agree with you. Anyone claiming that's picked Lonzo Ball for Rookie of the Year, I don't see it at all. I never did. He might turn out to be a good player, but as far as winning Rookie of the Year goes, you're not going to get Rookie of the Year because you have solid assist numbers or you're a good rebounding guard. Those awards go to guys who get buckets, and he does not do that. Not yet, at least.
Count of three. Say you're Rookie of the Year.
All right.
One, two, three.
Dennis
Ben
Smith
Simmons. Oh, get out of here.
Simmons, you know what? That's probably right. I hate that rule, though.
Oh, because he's not really.
Yeah,
he didn't play a game last year.
I know, but it's just.
Joel Embiid actually thought he was eligible for it in his fourth year.
That was funny.
He hadn't played enough games yet to be to be disqualified from it, which I thought was fantastic.
I got Dennis Smith Jr., man. I think he's going to
tear the league
up.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm excited. I'm actually, you know what? I'll save it for Friday 5, actually.
Oh,
save that.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
That's a tease right there.
Well done. Well done. Well done.
That's what we in the biz call a tease.
You'll be able to catch Dennis Smith Jr. shortly.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Big time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, he's fun, man. And I know, I mean, hell, I feel like everybody listening to this watched Summer League.
Yeah, right.
And because we were so glued to the Sacramento Kings.
We were a bunch of dorks.
I'm
one of them.
I feel like, I mean, I feel like that's a fair explanation. I don't ever remember us ever, you know, talking about Summer League.
Like, I used to be embarrassed to watch Summer League. I wouldn't bring it up to people.
Yeah, but now it's the cool thing.
Yeah.
Now it shows how big of a basketball nerd you are.
Yeah.
He was so good. He was so dynamic in Summer League.
Oh, my God. He had a great first game, too. I think out the gates they run an alley-oop for him. Some like 6'2 guard. He was so good in Summer League. The guy's explosive and has pieces to his game that other guys don't. He's first off, I don't know how he fell to where he did. What was he, 10th or something like that, 11th? He has a little bit of everything. Now, can he develop all those? Who knows? Obviously, he's a rookie. Who knows? Maybe he just turns out to be a super athletic guard, but I think he's going to be something special.
Alonzo Ball is going to be good. Here's the thing about the Lakers that people, I just think, refuse to freaking acknowledge. They suck, man.
Oh, they suck.
He is tremendous at seeing the floor, and we saw that in Summer League.
Yeah.
We saw it at points, particularly during the tournament at UCLA.
Yeah.
He is tremendous at seeing the floor. He's tremendous at distributing the ball. But if you're distributing the ball to guys who can't make shots, there's no category for should be assists.
Yeah, exactly. There were fast breaks last night where they're not finding Lonzo immediately. I'm like, well, that's the bread and butter. What are you doing?
Right.
Why aren't you immediately getting, like, Teodosic? That's what they do with the Clippers. As soon as it's a fast break, get it to him. He's going to make some crazy over the head underhand pass or whatever, but he's going to drop a dime for a bucket. And that's where Lonzo is most effective in the fast break. And when I mentioned his skills and whatnot, he reminds me of a Iguodala type, where he's good at all the stuff that isn't flashy. And that just doesn't really get the awards and recognition that someone who gets buckets does. As stupid as it is, that's just what the case is, and I think it's going to continue to be that for a while. Like he's going to be a nice he'll fill up the stat sheet, but not in points, and that's what a lot of people look for.
It could continue to be that way until next season when all of these free agents allegedly are.
Yeah, they're getting LeBron. Russ somehow is getting out of his contract to go there, I heard.
I don't think Russ is going anymore. Paul George.
Yeah.
DeMarcus.
DeMarcus, yeah, DeMarcus, yeah. Anthony Davis, is he
and
if he's
LeBron,
available?
If LeBron goes, I assume.
Dwayne Wade.
Right.
Well, then Carmelo, definitely.
Well, Carmelo, I think, has to wait one more
Chris year. Paul, probably. James Harden, they could probably get James Harden, too.
Yeah, they're all going to play in L.A.
That's cool. It'd be a good team.
Warriors still might get him, though, huh?
Yeah, right. Would you rather. This is such a – I heard it somewhere else, so don't kill me for saying this. Warriors versus an all-star team?
No.
Come on.
No. They lost to the Rockets the other night. What are you talking about?
A one-game sample.
What are you giving me a seven-game series?
I'm saying for the all-star game. Instead of an all-star game, Warriors versus all-star.
No. No. That's foolish. No.
Is it?
It is. It's foolishness.
Damien, is it?
This is Warrior foolishness right here.
Nah, come on.
This is why people hate you guys. It's because of crap like that.
They don't hate me. They hate Kyle Madsen. I've said that numerous times.
No, it's Warrior fans. People hate Warrior
fans. I didn't come
Warrior
up with this
fans.
Question. I stole this from someone, so I, you know. Do you hate me, Damien?
Ask me at 2:55 when we get out of here.
Chris, do you hate me?
I hated Carmelo. How about this text here from our guy Dan in Vacaville? I hated Carmelo, but then I hated Phil even more when he signed Melo to that ridiculous contract
with a
no-trade
clause. Oh, my God. Seriously.
As a longtime Knicks fan, I could tell you most of the Knicks fans I know hated both Melo and Phil. Good riddance to both of them.
Yep, that makes sense.
Oh, I like this one from Kevin in Arkansas. Russell Westbrook needs the Yankees announcers to do a call every time he gets a triple-double. I love that idea.
But what would the pun be?
I don't know. That's up to...
That's up to the geniuses in New York.
That's up to those guys.
That's up to those mental level announcers out there. Huh?
All rise. Yeah. I mean, if you can work that gem in 50 some odd...
He's not going west to the brook, because a brook's like a river water thing. You get it? Damien, do you get it?
44-1140 if you want to get in here on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920 on the phone lines. You go for the next 90 minutes or so if you want to jump in here. We got the Friday Five coming at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to get back into the NBA here in just a little bit because I want to have a conversation. Watching Russell Westbrook last night, watching John Wall in the opening night on Wednesday, or opening night, you know, for most teams, yeah, for a couple other teams. Evolution. I know you do. So do I. The evolution of the point guard in the NBA and how that's changed, and how I hate how this is going to come across.
Mm-hmm.
How Sacramento might have one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I just give it time, and I'll make the comparison with John Wall that I think will make complete sense. We'll have that. We mentioned Dusty Baker out as the Nationals manager. The Dodgers have punched their ticket to the World Series. Got plenty to go in the next 90 minutes here on the Lowdown. Ain't no Illin here, baby. We back on the Lowdown. Thank you so much for being here with us on this Friday. It's Charles T. Hamilton. I'm Damian Barling. This is the Lowdown. Got our Friday Five coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get into our predictions for week 7 of the NFL season. Yankees and Astros tonight. Can the Yankees join the Dodgers? Are we going to get New York versus LA? And all the storylines that come along with it, the Dodgers history in Brooklyn, and the number one market versus the number two market, and Aaron Judge against Clayton Kershaw. Like, are we good? Oh, by the way, can we shed the Kershaw can't pitch in the postseason?
No, we're not allowed to do that.
We're going to stick with that narrative.
Yeah. It's going to take 6 World Series rings where he pitches game 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Oh, short rest.
Yeah, short rest, obviously. No, that was always overblown. The guy's a beast. And I'm with you, man. If there ever was any question, this does it. That's it.
His last 8 postseason starts, team has won those 7 games. So 7 of, I mean, I'm like, well, not great at math.
Why did
pretty
he,
good percentage.
Why'd they lose the 8th?
Well,
you know,
apparently Enrique Hernandez wasn't hitting enough home runs. They sent the Cubs out on a whimper, by the way.
That's a rough, rough way to go. As a fan, would you rather that? Because then immediately you're like, all right, this one's over. I can deal with it.
Like 11-1 in a game 5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll take that. I don't want 11-1 in a game 7.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Which it wasn't – remember the Yankees-Red Sox, the Yankees come back from 3-0? Wasn't Game 7 a blowout?
I think so.
Like, there was like – Poppy was hitting walk-offs and walk-offs game after game after game. And then Game 7 rolls around, and it, like, there was no drama to it. It was like you had to pretend like you didn't know the Red Sox were going to win for like 6 innings.
Yeah.
But in a
they
game –
they could be the first team to come back 3-0 in the 7 innings. They're up 10 runs.
Right.
They might do
it. Yeah, hopefully they're – we'll see. Enrique Hernandez, man, he had a leadoff homer in the 2nd, a grand slam in the 3rd, and a 2-run homer in the 9th. I will do the math for you.
Yeah, because I lost it after
That's
that first one.
7 of their 11 runs.
Ooh. Why didn't he have the other 4?
See?
If we're going to treat Clayton.
Never good enough for you.
Never good enough for you. Not for the Dodgers.
That's pretty incredible when you consider.
It's unbelievable.
That the Cubs team scored 8 runs through the whole stretch.
He
almost had as many RBIs as they had runs through the entire.
That is one of my favorite parts of postseason is there's so many games and it's so random that you are going to get a guy like Hernandez or.
Turner.
Turner, and I'm blanking on the Giants guy. Ishikawa hit the walk-off a couple years ago. Like, you get these random moments from random people that are just awesome. I just love sports for stuff like that because doesn't happen anywhere else. You know, like what? I come in here and have a good day on radio and what? It's nothing. He will never forget this regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of Dodgers fans will never forget it either, regardless of what happens moving forward.
Well, you mentioned the Giants. Dusty Baker has been added to the list of managers fired by the Nationals, the Washington Nationals, since 2005. Frank Robinson, Manny Acta, Jimmy Riggleman.
Yep.
This shouldn't count.
Riggs.
This is
no, John, Big Rig? The
no,
Big Rig?
No, 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 no. No, that counts. I'm talking about John McLaren, who coached three games.
Yeah.
He shouldn't count.
Yeah.
But he does.
He does. Was in, yeah.
And then you got the string of former Giants.
I was going to say.
Davey Johnson,
yeah.
Matt Williams, Dusty Baker.
How many even play for Dusty Baker? Yeah.
Stop hiring San Francisco Giants.
Seriously.
If you're heading up the coaching search there in Washington.
Let's just cross off
spot. Let's be fair to the story. Davey Johnson, winning record.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Williams, winning record. Dusty Baker, winning record. Problem is all three of those coaches go to the postseason and can't produce.
Yep. I don't know.
And they managed to lose in heartbreaking fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not the 11-1 games like the Dodgers had. It's
it's
11-10 in extras.
and in game 7.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Nat's going to nat at this point, man.
That's what it is.
They're like the Clippers, man. Nat's going to nat, Clip's going to clip. There's nothing
really. There's a
to
lot
say.
Of I mean Boston, I know Boston, I think they said they were going to announce their coach after the ALCS. And I had read, you know, a couple of names attached to that, but there's some. I'm going to assume that they know who they want. They they have that direction. But Washington's a good job. The problem with the Washington job is you've got one job. You can finish with a winning record. You can win 97-96. Davey Johnson won 98 games. Cool. Your ass needs to be in the World Series.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to Dan Steinberg last week, who works for the Washington Post, covers all these Washington teams, and you know, headed into that game 7, he said, you know, there are a lot of people here who feel like if they win this game and advance to the championship series and don't win another one, that's fine. They can handle that.
Hmm.
They just can't handle losing in a decisive game at home in the divisional round again.
And it's too bad. I mean, look, I obviously didn't follow the Nationals 162 games all year. But it doesn't seem like Dusty did anything really that wrong either. It's just
a situation. Game 7 of the divisional round.
No, well, exactly.
That was it.
But it seems like a situation where it's like, okay, I can't fire every single player on this team. It has to be the manager. It's too bad for Dusty. I think a lot of people like him around here in Northern California. Maybe a lot don't. I don't know.
I think he's a he's a guy that a lot of people like, respect, and appreciate. Rob Gronkowski, well, here's Gronk talking about the game.
Gritkowski.
This weekend against the Atlanta Falcons. So, do you think I get the impression that he was that game that they're referring to was obviously the Super Bowl last year. I get the impression that was not something Gronk was supposed to repeat to reporters.
So funny, though. He's so fun-loving and funny, though. Like, that's funny. Gritkowski, right? The big guy?
I Gronkowski. I think what you're trying to do is...
What's that? Gritkowski.
Am I missing the joke? I don't get the joke.
He's gritty. It's the... Come on. He's gritty, high IQ, sneaky athletic.
You're just throwing out the white guy cliche.
Yes, always.
He's a big freak.
He is. He's a friggin' soda machine with legs.
He's a big giant freak, is what he is.
Massive grizzly bear.
It's just
who runs a 4.6.
What you're insinuating is that he's looked at differently than Marshawn Lynch is looked at.
You take
player,
whatever you want from
a player like Marshawn.
Certain
Lynch.
Players, yeah. That is exactly what I'm insinuating. But yes, it seems like it's something that he actually wasn't supposed to talk about, and he talks about it, and he does it with a
smile.
But
doesn't
so we
that
all think
confirm, like, listen to him, but I mean, I don't, he's not saying anything inflammatory.
No, nothing.
Like, listen to him again and think about everything we've ever heard about the New England Patriots and the way that they conduct themselves. Mm-hmm. And then listen to Gronk's answer here again when being asked about last year's Super Bowl against the Falcons. So can't you just imagine whether it's Bill Belichick or whether it's Tom Brady standing up in front of the team and saying, okay, guys, you know, we're going to be asked about, you know, this is a Super Bowl rematch. We're going to be asked about the game last year. We're going to be asked about 28-3. We're going to be asked about the comeback. Under no circumstances do you talk about that game. You just deflect and say they're a very good team. We're, you know, this is a new season. That's not the same team we played last year. It's not the same circumstance we played last year.
Cliche. Give them the biz, yeah.
Be as boring and as dull
we usually are.
And as bland as possible, which I think it's worth pointing out. That might be part of the reason Gronk stands out so much.
Mm-hmm.
Would Gronk stand out if he was a Philadelphia Eagle?
Or would he stand out if
he was a Dallas Cowboy or an Oakland Raider?
Yeah, a Dallas Cowboy for sure. Raider, maybe, maybe not.
I don't think he does. He's so different than the rest of – I understand Gronk has a certain personality, all that dancing and whatever. Like, mm-hmm. you can feel however you want to about Gronk. But part of the reason he stands out is because he's on the Patriots, and there is no other player on the Patriots like that. Like, how do you split time between Gronk and Cam Newton if he's in Carolina?
Yeah.
Because Cam dominates headlines in a different way. He's not goofy and extravagant the way he is. His outfits are.
I don't know. I feel like Gronk would be, maybe it's more so because it's in New England, but I feel like he'd be a character. As long as he's still a great player, he'd be a character anywhere he goes, and we'd care about him. Maybe not as much, but I think he would.
I agree. I'm not saying he's invisible.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying a lot of the way he's looked at is magnified because he's in New England.
Yeah.
Maybe that's wrong.
Look, there's videos of him out there gigging with a broken arm at the club.
He has the Gronk cruise, like no one else does that, nowhere else does that happen. But what accompanies those headlines all the time? That's not the Patriot way. Like, how do you think Bill Belichick feels about that? No one's going to say, hey, how do you think Andy Reid feels about, or how do you think Doug Peterson feels about, or how do you think Jason Garrett feels about? It's only, how do you think Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft feel about? No, that's not done with any other organization except the Patriots.
I don't know. We had a caller who thought thought Marshawn was disrespecting Jack Del Rio. He might be the minority, but I think there's something to it. Yes. But I also think Gronk is kind of ridiculous. He's over the top. Like, I think he'd be a story anywhere. As long as he's still a great player, we'd still see this crazy personality and all the other crazy stuff he does.
I mentioned Cam Newton. I got a note on him. Lots of basketball news pouring in here. Potential injury news as well. We'll have something from Mark Stein here in just a minute.
Uh-oh.
And some surveillance video caught of Kawhi Leonard at the airport. Doesn't look good for his quad. We'll explain next on the Lowdown. Chris Verlotte is easier to distract than a child at a toy store.
It is.
It's one of the great joys of our Friday shows.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's like, how much can we throw Chris Goff's game today?
Chris walks in, we say, hey, Chris, WWE. Oh, well, let me tell you. And then.
Go. I started a promo. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Coming back into the Lowdown. Coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, our final hour here of the week, we'll have our Friday 5-5 storylines, players, games. You should be paying attention to headed into the weekend. And when I say the weekend, I mean starting tonight. Starting tonight, to be more specific, spoiler alert, your Sacramento Kings in Dallas against the Mavericks.
No spoilies, man. Come on.
All right. Well, here's a couple of notes I want to bring you. Kawhi Leonard, this is legit the title of the alert that I got. Kawhi seen struggling to get upstairs for Spurs flight to Chicago.
Oh, boy.
We weren't really told what his quad problem was.
No.
And quad issues, just from experience that I've seen around, they can also lead to knee problems.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe his quad issue is actually a knee issue and they're just not telling us. Like, I'm getting really concerned about what's going on with Kawhi Leonard and when we might see him play for the first time. Mark Stein reports that the Rockets are worried Chris Paul could miss up to a month with his knee injury.
Yeah, that was random. That first game, he starts limping around and they pull him out.
It actually wasn't. And I'll tell you why. Sam Amick joined us on Wednesday. Sam Amick of USA Today joined us on Wednesday and noted that knee had gotten banged up in a preseason game. It had started to swell up really bad. And the nugget that he gave us that I thought was really important is people around Chris Paul had said, and I don't know, I don't recall if he said Chris said this directly, but I know he quoted people around him saying, if that wasn't opening night and if it wasn't against the Golden State Warriors, Chris Lynn would have played.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't have. I mean, let's just be real. That's stupid. Because it is. I understand the idea of opening night and playing against the Golden State Warriors being a big deal. But why don't you look at it like this? It's game one of 82.
Yeah. But you got to understand, athletes don't think like that.
No,
like the
no,
Rockets.
Definitely not.
This is a, quote, new looks Rockets team, right? Mm-hmm. It's a new look Rockets team where you have, and the big acquisition was Chris Paul. So I can understand why he'd want to be out there. Now, it didn't last because he sat the last, you know, the crunch time minutes, which good for Houston wound up winning anyways.
And Houston won, but I'll give you a look on the other side. Andre Iguodala sat. They sat him and said if it was the finals, he'd be playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same.
You can do that when you're the defending
champions
and you don't feel like you have much
to prove. I just think if the idea, look, opening night just shouldn't be a big enough deal to play through an injury that you probably shouldn't be playing on. That's my feeling at least.
And that's fair. I totally understand that line of thinking. But again, I think that's the difference. You want to set a tone, right?
Yeah.
What Oklahoma City did last night was great. They don't care that they played the Knicks. I'm pointing out they played the Knicks because I think it's going to look a little bit. And I really like this Oklahoma City team. I think they're going to be the second. I think they're going to be better than Houston.
You do?
I do. I think they're going to be the second best team in the conference.
Oof.
And I know that's a bit of a hot take because everyone is so high on Houston, especially after that opening night win.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pointing out they played the Knicks just as a conversation piece.
Yeah, no, it's worth mentioning.
But it matters to Oklahoma City. You know, imagine if that group of three loses.
Mm-hmm.
Then you deal with it's not going to – Russell Westbrook can't adjust his game. Carmelo can't adjust his game. Paul George is just here for the 82 games before he goes off to L.A.
Yeah.
I can understand in Houston's perspective, no one would have looked down on the Rockets if they hadn't won that game. No one expected the Rockets to win that game. It's just a bonus for them. And I think for the NBA world that it's like, okay, look, we all thought that Golden State got significantly better. Now, you mentioned Andre Iguodala set. That's a big deal.
Draymond
Green missed the entire fourth quarter, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Omri Caspi got hurt in part of it. I know that's not a big deal, but that's a rotation player.
But what we talked about this offseason was their depth and how they maintained – and added to, Swaggy P was great, right?
Yeah.
He was a big part of the depth that they added to that team.
Yeah.
But they lost. So, cool. It's a good storyline. So, I can understand in Chris Paul's mindset why he felt like it was important.
Yeah. No, I get it. But that's another opportunity for a coach or training staff to step in and say, no. Part of it also, and I know this is, going cross sports here, but Derek Carr last week against the Chargers, the offense they were running, if that's the only offense an injured player could run, Derek Carr last week, then he shouldn't have been playing.
Sure.
And I don't think Chris hurt the Rockets at all. He might have a little bit because they did come back in that fourth quarter when he was out. But I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like injuries, the coaching staff and training staff needs to be the level-headed ones that say, you know what, I know this is important to you. We're gonna have 41 home games. We're going to have 81 games after this. Like, let's just relax.
Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand where you're going. And I think, Greg Popovich said Kawhi wasn't going to be available like five days before.
Well before the first
So
game.
I don't know that this, I feel like this might not be a situation with Kawhi Leonard where he's sitting for three or four games.
Mm-hmm. Might be a month.
Yeah, we mentioned Chris Paul. You know, the Rockets fear Chris Paul could be out for a month. We may be talking about Kawhi Leonard out a month. And then, you know, the way the Spurs are, the Spurs think exactly the way that you're talking right now. If Kawhi is out a month, the Spurs will make it too.
Exactly.
The Spurs will bring him back Christmas Day, or just to screw with everybody, they'll bring him back 2 days after Christmas.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
they're
really
not worried about whatever game that is. They'll bring him back two days later.
Is there a team out there that's more equipped to deal with a loss of a superstar? And not because they are stacked behind him, but just because of who they are? I mean, the Spurs beat the T-Wolves opening night. LaMarcus Aldridge, I know we clown him because he's not a top-level superstar. He's a damn good player, though. He's still a very good player, and he played great against the T-Wolves, and people for the last 3 years have been just all over the T-Wolves. I think the predictions have been they were going to win 100 games over the last 2 years. That hasn't been the case, and they're not going to win 50 this year. They might get close to 50, but I'm saying no. But I just – I think they'll be fine, and it's smart, too, for the Spurs because I think they're going to be fine and then try and get Kawhi healthy instead of just throwing him out there to appease fans or whatever the case may be.
I feel like Chris is like a dying breed of a point guard in the NBA that doesn't exist anymore. You know, we're talking about John Wall and Russell Westbrook earlier. We'll bring that back, and who in Sacramento may in a couple years fit into that same category. We'll have that plus our Friday Five as we continue here. Final hour of the Lowdown coming up next.